The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is May 12, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer. Also, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's Steven Santangelo's company, and Steven's on with me in about probably 2 minutes. You can get a hold of Steven at primalcreations@aol.com, Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Get a hold of him. I'm telling you right now, he's got the best stuff out there, and he's more than willing and accommodating to help you. So check that out. This is another big thing we've got here. Motivation and Muscle is basically working side by side with 8X Club, where you can win a club, a free club that's a $240 value. Now, all you have to do, you can go out to motivationmuscle.com, or it'll take you right to motivationandmuscle.com/club. All you have to do is submit your entry, and I'm going to give you a little bit about this club, okay? It's adjustable, and you have weight settings that go from 3.5 to 25 pounds. It's perfect for two-hand and one-handed club exercises. It's great for rehab and heavy rotational power training. And there's four videos down below to get you acclimated to it. Donnie's on the show once a month. He's a great guy. You really need to go out and read his story. I mean, he's a guy that ruined his shoulder bench pressing for years and pretty much was down on his luck and had to figure a way to fix himself. And due to lack of funds, this guy created this club. And it's incredible. I've got one here at the house, and I thank him for that. The 19th is a cutoff day for this contest, and we will pick on the 21st of May. If you win, whether you're on the show or not, you, myself, and Donnie will do a three-way podcast together. So you're going to get to come on Motivation and Muscle. This is the top show out there. And if we're not, we will be, believe me, within the next year, we're going to own the airwaves. And I'll tell everybody right now, we're in the planning stages right now to do a live call-in show. That potentially could be the end of the year, early 2017, so stay tuned. So I wish everybody well, and go out and register for the club. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's Fiorello Barbell Co. Commit, take action. That's what you need to do. The two products right now to date, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle, all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. All I can say is this, we do everything here. The laboratory is right behind my office here. I can look right out there. That's where everything takes place. No one writes my content. No one does my workouts, all right? I had Bud Jeffries on today. We did a show on isometrics. I was telling him some of the stuff I've been doing. Very interesting stuff, man. It's like, and we got Steven Santangelo on. These are people that aren't afraid to go against the grain. You know, when they tell you you can't do it, we're going to do it otherwise. Like someone said to me, well, you can't do three pulls in a row. And I was like, why? I did it the other day. I haven't had any repercussions from it. In fact, my body feels thicker and stronger than it has in a while. So, you know, go out and make your own way in the world. As we say, we clear cut the path. We don't follow it. Steven, I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. And I'm going to give a little bit of breakdown on Steven before we bring him in. He's a strength athlete, an organic farmer, and a strong man who still competes in a long-standing tradition of all-time weightlifting. And I would tell you, you should go out, however you contact him through Primal Creations, you should really go out and look at his greens and all the other stuff he's got. He's made a few nice formulas for me to help me out with my adrenals and things like that. I would definitely tell you to contact this gentleman. I've sent a lot of people over to him, and I'll keep doing it. So, Steven, welcome to the show, sir.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Always love being on your show.
Well, we love having you here. Give anything I missed with the bio, and we're going to talk about, well, you know, this guy's an organic farmer, and I'm a gardener. I'm not at his level, but this is something he and I got big passion for. And with the athletic stuff we do and with the warm weather coming, why not get out there and get in the dirt, man, and build something and have some good food? So lay it on us, Steve, and anything I missed, and we'll get right into the show.
Yeah, no, nothing you missed. We'll probably touch on other aspects as we move along. Appreciate what you've said. And I really like what you said there. It leads into something I always tell people, because they always say, man, you must have a green thumb. Said, no, I've got really brown knees.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get in contact with the earth. Now, I'm going to discuss a few aspects of organic farming. Now, you know, we're on the big side. And we've been making some transitions in order to help the average person out there, you know, the average guy out there that wants to grow his own food. You know, they're not interested in doing farmers markets, you know, retail sales and all this other stuff. Yep. And as long as someone has the passion and as long as someone has the patience and passion is going to take you through life, you know, regardless of what you want. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we have done and the transition we're making. Some of it is a little scientific, but it's just to put the emphasis out there that there's more than just throwing seeds into the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, not everyone's going to have 40 acres. Not everyone's going to have equipment, heavy equipment. Not everyone's going to have the time to dedicate it as a full-time passion. So this is going to be geared towards the average family out there and to make their life better and healthier and grow the kind of food that's going to put the vitality back into people's lives. And, you know, a little bit on the political side, the family farmer has been dying out for about the past 35 years. You know, up until about 50 years ago, the majority of the food in this country was grown by the family farmer, whether it was a small guy with 20 acres or a large family farm of 600 acres. And then the industrial agriculture started coming in, and that really, really changed the face of it. And right now, only 7% of the food that's on the retail market is being produced by family farmers. So my motivation is to get people involved and get people aware of what they can do. And not that we're going to go back in time. That's ridiculous. You hear that cliche all the time. No, we don't want to go back in time. We want to move forward in time. We might want to bring back some of the old ways, but they have to be modernized in order to have the small family or family farmer move into the future. So we started out, you know, we got all jacked up and, you know, so we got the acreage, we got everything going. And of course it's, you know, over a period of time, it's not something that happened just overnight.
Right.
But then we realized that producing food on that scale, we're only providing food. We're not providing the education and the understanding of the nutritional aspects of it. So over about the last years, we have been moving more into a permaculture to create an entire environment in a very small space and really get specific into the science of nutrition for every particular crop. Example, the nutritional needs of your salad greens, leafy greens are much, much different than your nutritional, soil nutritional needs for your root foods, such as, you know, potatoes, turnips, carrots, onions, garlic. You know, you get the point. So this is what I have really gotten into. And you know, pretty much everyone knows, yeah, well, I could run down to Home Depot, I could get organic fertilizer, and you see the bag and it says 10, 10, 10, which means, you know, yep. nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. And, okay, basically, that's a good catch-all. And it's going to kind of hit all the bases, but it's really not going to be specific to get that nutrition value up. So I really got into this science first dealing with nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And then when I had a good understanding of that, I branched out because it's not so much what you are putting into the soil as it is what you or how you maintain the soil and the nutrition that the soil has. The soil has to be alive. Mm-hmm. If you don't have life in the soil, there's no way that you're going to have life in your crops. And the more life you have in the crops, the more energy the crops have. Now, when I say energy, I'm not talking about calories. I am talking about the energy that is provided through the cells of the plants. Okay. And this is where it gets really interesting. You know, for me, yeah, I'm like over the top with this. So an advantage of going to a permaculture, I have everything now in elevated beds or containers. Mm-hmm. Okay. The main reason initially was because here in this part of the country, this part of the Midwest, it's clay. You go down about a foot and it's solid rock.
Right.
You know, so when we get lots of rain, that water has nowhere to go. And mm-hmm. a lot of farmers out here lose a lot of their root foods, you know, their potatoes and carrots, turnips and whatnot. They just lose it. Mm-hmm. So I figured, okay, let's get this, the value of the earth up above. So using the elevated beds, I was able to do that. We never have had an issue with rain, no matter how much rain we've had. We've never lost crops due to that.
Right.
And the advantage is I have crops in different elevated beds, not necessarily combining. Occasionally we do. However, by having each crop in a different bed, mm-hmm. I am able to control some of the most important aspects of soil health. And that is the ratio of minerals that each crop needs and the pH value mm-hmm. of the soil. Most crops prefer a pH value that's somewhat acidic. And, of course, I have instruments and I do the testing of the soil all the time. I want to know what those ratios of minerals are. I want to know what the pH value is. And just getting that part of it down made a huge difference because without proper mineral ratios and without proper pH values, the beneficial fungus and the beneficial bacteria cannot survive. Mm-hmm. So I got that first step out of the way. The second step was growing my own beneficial bacteria and fungus in separate 55-gallon drums. Now, the bacteria breaks down the nutrients. The fungus transports the nutrients into the roots and into the fruit. Mm-hmm. And when a lot of people don't realize how important this is, it's only about 1/10 of an inch away from the root that these nutrients are absorbed.
Wow, okay.
The rest of the soil is just to balance, help balance everything out so different parts of the soil do not compete.
Mm-hmm.
So I got these initial steps out of the way. Now, these are very simple, and you really don't have to have any special instruments in testing to do this. These are real simple that pretty much anyone could do, and I'll get more into detail. But when I got this aspect done, just to give you an example of the production we have, in one container a few years back, it was only 3 feet by 8 feet, and I produced over 6,000 green beans.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so I thought, well, wait a second, you know, why do I need to go out and plow land and get acres when I produce this much in this little of space? And another example, I had a tomato plant. Now, this was not a cherry tomato plant. This was the big beefy plant.
They're big.
Yeah. On just this one plant, at one time, I had 103 tomatoes to be harvested that single day.
Man.
So,
For anybody that doesn't know about it, those are like the big boy tomatoes, right, Stephen?
Yeah.
I mean, those, anybody that's never seen one, go check them out. They're monsters.
Yeah, and,
they're
huge. Yeah, and this tomato plant, the trunk of it was like a tree trunk.
It had to be just to hold them, you know?
I couldn't even get my middle finger and thumb around it.
Wow.
And I have pepper plants. Now, pretty much everyone knows pepper plants are usually about 18 inches, 24 inches high. Okay, my pepper plants are anywhere from 7 to 8 feet high.
That's unbelievable, man.
And,
holy cow.
Yeah, I'll have to send you some pictures.
I'll put them up on the blog.
Yeah. It looks like a Jack and the Beanstalk.
You're not kidding. I've never heard of a pepper plant that high. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's really cool. I have peppers that are anywhere from 12 to 14 inches long.
Jeez.
And they're sweet as could be.
Yep.
They're tasty. And, you know, nothing beats eating fresh. Go out, pick it, and just gobble it down. So, those are some of the great aspects of learning just a few of the basics and what you could do in your own backyard. And you don't need a lot of space.
No.
We have now gotten this down to one third of an acre.
That's unreal.
And in one third of an acre, it was so productive last year that we still have 1.5 freezers full of food from last year's harvest. Excuse me. And we did not do greenhouses this past winter.
Okay.
And now it's not just, my wife and I that are living off of this. We have a private buyers club, and we're able to provide for all the members as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Holy cow. I got a question for you. See, this is what I've been wanting to do. And when you say greenhouse, I don't know. I can't remember exactly how long my garden. Let's say 30 feet, maybe. It might be a little longer by 18, 20, something like that. It's not small. It's not huge, but it more than gives me what I need. I've thought a number of times because I'm very interested in, and I put a lot of flowers in and stuff like that, and I know how to do all that. I always thought about getting a greenhouse. And maybe getting one, maybe half the size of that, three quarters of a size, and maybe I'd use the rest of it to plant what I wanted. But I could still grow a garden type place in a greenhouse, right? Or no?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that because, I wouldn't mind growing my own marigolds. I buy enough of them or in patience and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been thinking more and more about doing. I mean, what's your feeling on that? Or do you just like – well, I like being outside too, but it does have – it definitely, especially living in the Northeast, it does have its pluses, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, hybrids have become so advanced that they have crops that are specifically designed to grow in greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And, that gets a little advanced for the average individual. But anytime someone's starting out, I always suggest for them to go with the hybrids, because the hybrids are designed to be more disease-resistant, drought-resistant, more resistant to changes in temperature, and they produce rather rapidly. And generally, they will produce pretty much all at one time, which is generally referred to as determinate. Mm-hmm. Whereas your heirlooms are referred to as indeterminate, and they will continue producing until the first and second freeze comes along. Mm-hmm. But they don't produce a high quantity at one time. So for the guy that wants to have his own garden, I strongly suggest go with the hybrids, get the hang of it. You get your crops all within the summer, and then you could be done with it. Because every year is going to be a learning process, and each season you want to add one or two more things. You know, you don't want to jump in there and go crazy in the beginning. That's just not going to work. One is setting themselves up for failure.
Sure.
So by taking small steps and understanding and completing each step, then you have more success with it.
Geez, that sounds a little bit like what you and I talk about with barbell lifting. Take little steps. Isn't that amazing what happens? We can take that and transfer it over everything. You know what I want to ask you, Stephen, while I got this on my mind?
Yes.
You know, we got, when people hear this show, they're going to be saying, well, I don't want to be out there doing a lot of work. I've got blah, 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 blah. What are the plants that are probably the easiest maintenance-wise? And I know it comes down to what soil you're using, your pH, how much weeding you're doing, and things of that nature. But, you know, is there, are, for the beginner,
yeah,
what would you say? I mean, maybe like a few tomato plants, some lettuce, maybe some beans. What, how would you go with a small garden initially?
Yeah, definitely start out with some of the hybrid tomatoes. And
okay.
With the tomatoes, I suggest staying with the basic red tomatoes.
Yep, yep,
okay?
Yep.
Even though they have hybrid yellow, orange, and all those other colors, it's best to stay with the hybrid red. And those are the ones you typically will see in the supermarket.
Yep.
Because
yep.
they have been around for quite a while. They have been refined, and they're just very good producers. And they're not susceptible to fungus, mold mm-hmm. in the air, which is very detrimental to tomato plants, regardless of what part of the country you live in. So definitely go with that. As far as the lettuces or any type of salad greens, spinach and whatnot, there isn't a whole lot of difference between the durability of hybrids and heirlooms.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest start out again with some of the hybrid lettuces. They're easy to grow. Again, they're not so susceptible to disease. They're a good deal. A lot of people like to grow their own carrots.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I suggest start out with the orange carrots. You know, they're hybrids now. You have to have a lot of patience with carrots, though. They take at least 3 to 4 weeks before they start popping up out of the ground, and they're slow growers, so you have to baby them throughout the season. But again, the hybrids are pretty good producers. And the only drawback with the carrots is that you have to thin them out.
Now,
what has come on the market recently are carrot and lettuce seeds, because those things are really tiny. You know, they're the size of an ant's eye. And, you know, you basically just throw it out and then thin it. But recently, the lettuce and carrot seeds have come what is called pelleted. P-E-L-L-E-T-E-D. And it's about the size of a BB. So now you could take them one by one. And this is what I do with all of our lettuce and carrots, and people are going, are you crazy? I said, yes, I am. But I plant them one at a time, then I don't have to do any thinning.
No, I know.
And you're guaranteed that you're going to have a high return.
That's interesting. I'll have to look for those when I go and get seeds.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if they're on the common retail market like Home Depot or Lowe's and whatnot. A lot of nurseries are not carrying them, but you can get them online.
Right.
Most of the bigger names and more reliable names do have them. And
we have a co-op here. You ought to see their stuff.
Nice.
I mean, beautiful. And I got to go there tomorrow. I'll make sure I check and see if they got them. If they do, I'm going to snatch them tomorrow.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, they're going to run about 3 times more expensive.
Yeah.
But think of the returns and think of the work that you do not have to do. So
I know.
It's well worth it. I truly think it's well worth it. And they do have a very good sprouting percentage. You're pretty well guaranteed to get anywhere from 80 to 90% of each one that's going to pop up.
Yep.
So it's a sweet deal. Definitely a good way to go for the beginner.
Well, I'll tell you, you know where I've had I usually have pretty good luck other than if squirrels get into my garden. But there's only three is it three I've had? It's really only three vegetables that I've had problems with. I've never had a lot of success with broccoli, cauliflower, or like the little red onions you stick in the ground. I had a good year one time. You know, they're all scallions when you're pulling them.
Yeah.
But I've never had a lot of good luck with, you know, it'll seem like the broccoli or the cauliflower looks good like 2 days before, and then it's all yellowed. What is that, mainly my soil's probably not too good at that point? Or
yes. Yeah,
yeah,
it's definitely soil and temperature.
Yeah.
Soil temperature and air temperature.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I will say this. My father, that's who I learned to garden from. He never had a garden as big as mine, but he'd be pretty pleased today to see that because, you know, I'm the only one out of – well, my sister does a little bit, but she's got five kids, and they're all young kids. I'm the only one out of everybody that's the gardener.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't know. I mean – I used to watch him. I didn't do a hell of a lot, but I watched him enough and helped him when he wanted me to help him to do it. He was a little bit more daring, and I won't do it now because I don't ever remember squirrels around when my dad was alive. He used to plant like cantaloupe and all that stuff, and he used to get them, man. But if I even tried that now, I'm sure there would be teeth marks right through it. And that's the funny thing. Well, it's not funny. You know, I've always had great success with eggplant because being a paisan, I love just pulling it off there, slicing it, throwing it in some garlic and oil and eating it that way, okay?
Yeah.
And it always seems this is something. I go out there like that night in water and I'll say, "Man, that one's ready to pick." By God, I'll come out the next morning to get it and what is in it? Multiple teeth marks. I'm like, "Damn, man," you know what I mean? Because I'm like, I'm not going to – but that seems to be my curse with eggplant, but I might just give it a shot this year and see what happens. I haven't put it in like 3 years. But I don't know. I'm probably not going to do anything like broccoli and cauliflower because I know that due to what you've taught me and you're telling me to do with this year's crop, I put six plants in. That's all I've got room for. But I don't know the return now. I know the return's better on like eggplant, and if I want to put in a different style of peppers or something like that, the return's always better. So I think this year I'm going to go more with the stuff that's going to give me better return.
Yeah, definitely. You know, sometimes you just have to be a little bit more objective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Steven, I love going through like with the co-op. I, you know, they've got so many different things compared to anybody else, and it's a local farmer downstate that does all the growing. And I think I'll maybe put a few more herbs in this year, and I'll see what they got. You know, you always see some kind. Oh, last year, I only got one plant, and I got pretty good return. They were the first place I ever saw San Marzano tomatoes.
Oh.
And I put them in. Now, nothing I could run through a blender and try to start making a sauce with.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, here we go. Throw that in with a little chopped up eggplant and just, you know, eat it like that with the garlic and the olive oil. And I'm fine with that. I don't need anything else with it. Occasionally, I might cook up a little pancetta with it, too, and dump it in. And, you know, that's the Italian man's strong meal to me. So, you know,
yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I like about this stuff. I mean, when you really have a real interest in it, and you know, we talked a passion about it. I love going to all those places and seeing. Okay, I'll have people with me and be like, "Are you done yet?" I'm like, "No, I'm going to go and look at every damn thing they got there to see if I've ever put it in or not." That's the beauty of it. And then, you know, people say, "Geez, your garden looks so good." I'm like, "Well, that's why I'm out shopping around all over the place, and that's why I'm there constantly, you know, if I got to do weeding. I love the watering and just watching life come into the world, you know?"
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful to see. I get excited every year, every single year. I know what I'm going to be getting. I've done it a million times, but I still get excited.
Sure. Now, was your dad putting a garden in when you were a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then on my mother's side, my grandfather had a garden.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, from the day I could walk, I was always exposed to gardens, and I loved it. And my wife was raised on a 600-acre farm in Iowa.
Jeez. So you got it in your gene pool for sure now.
Holy cow. So, you know, this is just something that we grew up with and we love, and we just continue it. And that's one of the reasons why we're moving everything into a permaculture environment. People could understand, and I'm going to be doing classes for people that say, look, this is what we turned our backyard into. It's a complete environment, and it's not just crops, but it's everything. It's with all the flowers. It's with all the trees. I had a killer dynamic warm-up last week by planting 9 trees.
Wow.
You know, and these were pretty good-sized conifers, too. Yep. They weren't the little ones you find in the bucket at Home Depot. And we're really creating this wonderful, wonderful environment. And I'm really excited to get people involved. Now, I know there aren't going to be a whole lot of people that are going to have the same passion as I do, and they're not going to be totally over the top like I am, but just enough. So, you know, no pun intended, but so I could plant the seed for people and let them take it from there. It's absolutely wonderful to get your hands into the earth, earth, and you could tell the difference between a healthy soil and a non-healthy soil. You know, you were talking about the little predator, squirrels, rabbits. Now, this is a very important part of this whole permaculture thing and what I was talking about and how I regulate the soil. The healthier the soil is, the healthier the plant is. When the plant is healthy, it develops its own immune system, and it will actually create resistant-type nutrients to keep insects away.
Now, that's interesting.
When I was beginning, oh, my gosh, we would have insects come in and just, like, wipe out specific types of crops. Nowadays, it's basically nothing. In fact, so far this year, 8 weeks into the growing season, I found 2 insects.
Wow.
That's it.
Holy cow.
We have never had issues with deer. We had a little groundhog that came in one time and ate all the carrot tops. But, you know, that was nothing because the carrots were left. The carrots grew fine, still had a good produce. Now, one thing that's really funny was about 3 years ago, we grew some hot peppers. In fact, those are some of the hot peppers that you have.
Those are delicious.
Okay, now you know those are hot.
Yeah, they're real hot.
Okay?
Yep.
To give the audience an idea how hot these are, okay, your typical cayenne has a heat unit of about 35,000. Okay, the ones that you have that I sent you vary from 250 to just over 300,000.
Not to interrupt you, but you know, Steven's had me chewing garlic and everything else, and I got ginger too, because I've been reading some of the effects of ginger. You know, it's I don't know if you've ever read this, but they're saying it has a lot of the properties. You know, where people are going to get in like chemo for cancer. This is the killing effect of anything like that in you. And I've been consuming now. You know, every 3 days I go, and then I take a few off. I've been consuming large amounts of garlic and ginger, and I mean chewing it all, swallowing it all, and I'll take as much as I can with it, and if I got to chase it down with something, I do. But it's incredible stuff. And turmeric I've been doing a lot of. I'm not getting sore like I was, and John McKean was telling me too, niacin is a great thing to take before you're going to get into all the strength stuff I'm doing. I've cut that down so much, and that's another thing. I mean, I put garlic in. I got a big bud of garlic that I'll be ready to go, too. So, no, you're so right. You know, there's nothing like going out. When I plant the garden initially, You know, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody awake even on my street. My house is quiet. The only thing you're going to hear is nature, whether it's a few birds or squirrels busy building something, all right?
Yeah.
I go out there barefoot, you know, just a pair of sweats and a tank top on, and I'm laying in the dirt, and if the sun's out already, you know, the soil's warm. I got to tell everybody out there, you got to try this. There's nothing like this experience. And what I like to do, and Steven, I'm sure, can attest to this, you know, maybe you had a hard day with the business and stuff. And, you know, everyone knows that you and I love strength. And we do all kinds of crazy strength stuff. But I got to tell you, the garden's close to rivaling that with me because it puts me in a different direction. You know, I don't have to be real aggressive with it. But what I like doing, it's that hand-eye coordination with everything. I love doing that stuff. And gardening is all hand-eye to me. I love, you know, if I've got a, you know, you're planting stuff and it's like one hand's pushing this and then you're putting it in and then you're going boom, 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 all the way down. It's very good for you mentally and it really nourishes you. You know, that's what it does to me. It makes me just feel very productive and just energy driven. So go ahead. Just you respond to anything you want there. I just, you know.
No, I agree with you 100%. There is a certain contact with the earth. And the reason for that, and I'm glad you said barefooted, because at different times of the year, the earth produces different types of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I really get into with my gardening. I won't get into it too much with our discussion because it is very heavy science. But just a hint. In this part of the world, in this quadrant of the northern and western hemisphere that we live in, phosphorus plays a very integral role in producing energy to the crops. So phosphorus is also very important to the root foods such as potatoes. So when I do my first harvest, and this is coming up pretty soon, I will do my first harvest at the end of July.
Okay.
Because during the month of July, the phosphorus is producing a tremendous amount of energy. Phosphorus is the most important mineral for potatoes. So I plan my planting of the seedlings. So July is at its peak.
Yep.
And when I say this, at its peak, not only is it absorbing the energy, but it is also producing the highest amount of sugar, which in agricultural terms is referred to, some call it BRIX, some call it BRIE, but it's BRIX.
Okay.
And I actually have calibration devices that test for the sugar levels.
Okay.
So during this month of July, when the potatoes are ripe and they're absorbing all this energy, it is converting the starch into sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you could bite into this thing and it tastes like a fresh apple off the tree.
Wow.
It makes a huge difference. So all my plants are based around what mineral is going to be at its peak, and I work backwards as to when I need to feed certain crops with certain minerals to peak at a certain time that works in conjunction with what the earth is doing. Because we're not going to change what the earth is doing. The earth is going to react to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I plan each crop accordingly. And I'll give you another idea of how productive this is. Okay, in a container that's 4x8, 12 inches high, I will produce about 200 pounds of potatoes.
Wow. Holy cow. Man, oh man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. So I do this first harvest of potatoes at the end of July. Then I just let all the rest of them go. And I always allow my potatoes to go through at least 2 frosts. A lot of people say, no, you got to pull it before the first freeze comes in. I don't do that. I let it go through 2 frosts because Then, as a survival mechanism, plants will convert all of the starch into sugar because the sugar is immediate energy, just like with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the plants are going to be at their most delicious point.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Man. So I said, but this is an evolution of several years. This
happened,
you know, overnight. But to inspire people, let them know that there's more to growing than just throwing seeds out and hoping for the best. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit to, again, something else that I do. It's called ERGS. It is the energy released per gram of soil. And I will do testing for this as well. Because what I was saying earlier with the phosphorus, with potatoes, with the minerals and all this kind of stuff, as long as you could keep that energy being produced, because crops they just soak up minerals and they soak up the beneficial bacteria and fungus. I mean, they are hungry 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always be testing the energy level. And this energy level is pretty much based on two aspects, the amount of oxygen in the soil, which I test for, and the electrical impulses.
Okay.
Now, I've spoke about this a lot on my Facebook with the human body.
Yep.
And, you know, with my miracle minerals, why, you know, minerals are among my decathlon of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have these minerals. They are conducting the electrical impulses in the body from the inside the cell to the brain to the central nervous system, working with the hormones. This works in harmony. Well, plants work exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So the more electrical impulses you could get to the roots and up to the fruit, the more abundant your harvest is going to be, as I had identified earlier in our conversation.
Right.
So electricity is very important. And fungus actually communicates through electrical impulses. And this is so crazy. There was a documentary on BBC a few years back. I don't remember exactly how long, but a place, it's about 2 miles by 2 miles, about 4 square miles. They actually got fiber optics into the earth. And this is just a few inches below the surface. And they photographed all these like little lightning bolts. It was all this static electricity that the fungus was communicating with.
Okay.
And I find stuff like that fascinating.
It is fascinating.
And even when I raise my own beneficial fungus in 55-gallon drums, I absolutely love it. When I take that lid off, you could hear all this crackling. It's like static because the electricity is the communication form that the fungus is talking to each other.
Okay.
And so, you know, I take that and feed the crops with it. And so it goes into the earth, and that symbiotic relationship with bacteria and with the minerals creates a whole subterrane environment that is just absolutely fascinating. And worms love it. And, you know, I mean, I could put my hand into any elevated bed and I could pull up a handful of worms.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they
absolutely love it. And getting back to what we were saying earlier, we get sidetracked all the time.
That's okay.
But, you know, we were talking about the predaceous insects or rodents and whatnot.
Yep.
And about the hot pepper. Okay. This is kind of a funny one. About 3 years ago, we had rabbits come in. And you know, the only thing they ate were the hot peppers.
Wow. Figure that one out.
Yeah, because you know how hot those guys are.
Hell yeah.
And it cracked me up because I go, wait a second. These are cute little Easter bunnies.
And
they're standing on their hind legs. You know, just like a cute little Easter bunny picture. And they are like chowing down on these hot peppers.
Jesus, that had to be like nitro in them when they took off, you know?
You know?
I mean, come on. Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe it. And no one's ever heard of this before.
Wow.
I was blown away. So I actually had to build a cage around all of our pepper plants. But other than that, we haven't had issues.
Now, you don't have a lot of squirrels down where you are
in
Kentucky? Oh, okay. Yeah, but you don't have squirrels bothering you?
No.
That's weird because I've got them here, and I think I told you 3 years ago I planted everything. I came back out in the afternoon, and every plant literally was ripped out of the ground.
Yeah.
Every single one. And I have a big fence around it, and the only thing that could have scaled that would have been a squirrel. Because, you know, you didn't know the way they dig.
Yeah.
And it had, like, all those dig, because the rabbits couldn't get in there, Anthony. It was definitely squirrels. And, you know, it's, you know, you put stuff down, it might work for a little while, you know. And in the city, I mean, you know, people don't want to hear this, but, you know, you shoot them with a BB gun, somebody sees you with a pistol, and they're going to call the cops. They'll end up getting 20 years in prison for shooting a squirrel. So, they make all kinds of things where you can electrify the fences and things like that. Right. And we're going to be doing maybe that this year because, you know, something, you know, from being a farmer, it's a lot of money. You work very hard at it. You really get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And I realize with everything you do, there's always going to be things that are going to happen and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, nothing bothers you more than going out and finding your whole garden ripped out. You know, I mean, that you know, that wasn't a pleasing thing. So hopefully we're going to eliminate all that this year. And, you know, obviously with all the information you've lent to me, this should be the banner year for gardening. But I want to ask you something because I know people are going to send me things. You know, you always hear Miracle-Gro, Miracle-Gro. I'm not a big lover of any of that stuff. And they've been sold, I think, anyways now. I don't think – because I used to use – their potting soil. Every year I have hanging plants and I do the stairs and I used to put, I don't know, 350 impatiens out in front of the house. But the soil there is not good anymore and it really needs to, probably it needs some new soil on it. And I had spoken to one guy a few years back and he said, you really ought to just not plant for a few years, you know, let the soil just, you know, just rest or whatever you got to do. But I, you know, I used that potting soil, Steve, and I got to tell you, that was the biggest bunch of junk I ever bought. It was all stones and like wood in it.
Yeah.
There was, you know, it wasn't good stuff. So what's your feeling about that? Because, you know, that stuff's real expensive. And I, you know, I know there's other stuff at garden centers or co-ops, or if you want to go to a Lowe's, I guess you can go there. But is there any name brand that you would say to get if you're going to do, you know, clay pots or anything like that?
Not so much a brand name. The most important part is to use one that is certified organic, which in, you know, with fertilizers and amendments, it's called OMRI, O-M-R-I. Definitely do not use chemicals because the chemicals will kill the beneficial fungus and beneficial bacteria. And it also destroys the integrity of the soil. And, you know, you brought up a good point, which I'm glad you did, as far as not planning, you know, for a year or two or three. And this is something that's important for, you know, like what we do, because we plant in those elevated beds and containers every year, is to rotate your crops.
Yep.
Always rotate your crops and, you know, do not return to a particular area for 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, this will help build the immunity of the soil. Now, some of that area that you were just talking about, the best thing you could do is use the manure. You know, first put in the 55-gallon drums, you know, break it down and feed it.
Yep.
Feed the soil. The miracle minerals, feed the soil. I told you how potent this stuff is. I use basically two handfuls on 1 acre of land.
Yep.
So, you know, I'll send you some. And, you know, dissolve this, put it in there, rebuild the health of the soil. Very important.
Well, and, you know, it would be nice out in front doing that because I have, and they look great. They're probably 5 years old. I planted all the trees here. Two good-sized arborvitaes and a burning bush. Though the back of the burning bush this year Doesn't look like it's got leaves on the back, so I've got to take a closer look, but I will, you know, spray that down with the Miracle Minerals. You know, here's another question, too. I've used it for years, and I wonder if this is taking stuff out. Now, obviously, Miracle-Gro that you mix up, and obviously you shoot through, you know, it's got the little can, and you hook your hose to it.
Yeah.
Is that stuff worthwhile, or is that hurting the crop or the tree? You know, they've got the ones for the acidic trees and all that.
Yeah.
Is that stuff good, or is that something to stay away?
Stay away from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't need, other than putting like the Miracle Minerals on there, you really don't need to be using the stuff to spray on the arborvitaes or anything like that. Stay away from that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Yeah.
I thought, and you know, you made me think of something else when we talked about getting in the garden with your bare feet.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the electricity and everything. I do this a lot because I can remember reading it years ago and I couldn't tell you where. They say it's good to go out in your nice green grass barefoot and kind of like rub your feet against the lawn because of the electricity in it. Am I right with that or not?
No, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I do that a lot.
Yeah. And it's the energy. The earth releases wavelengths of energy.
Yep.
And you absorb that.
Yep. Well, I've been doing what I do some mornings. I still do it, not every morning. I get one of those big, you know, at Home Depot, they got them anywhere. You get those big buckets like you'd wash your car with.
Yeah.
I go out there in a pair of shorts, and man, some mornings you want to scream, it's so cold. I fill that bucket right to the top with cold water, dump it right over my head, and then track my feet all over the lawn. But at that point, man, I'm ready to, like, scream out of my skin because it's so friggin' cold. I've been doing that a little bit here and there because, you know, some people agree with that, the cold water bathing, some don't. If I had my way, I'd have a sauna here and something nice and cold to dive in after, but that's going to be in the new life down the road. But I love all those things, you know, getting the feet in the dirt, getting the feet in the grass, you know, the cold water, you know, and going in and sitting there in the heat like the Vikings or somebody in a lodge, you know, and you're just sweating your guts out, man. I love all that stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. It's revitalizing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking, Will Dinwiddie was on here yesterday, and he's a great lifter out of Oregon. And, you know, we were talking all about Iceland and all that. And, you know, I was telling him, things when they're where we want them to be, and we want that long before the end of this year, is I'd be tempted because, you know something, Steve, and I want your opinion on this because I think you'll agree with me with this, is this. From affordability standpoint, doing it would be dynamite. I would like, let's say I can get there before October and lift that thing in October. I'd like to, if I'm searching right now, I believe there's another place that you can stay that's open all year round in Husafell, because the Husafell Inn closes right around Labor Day there. I'd like to go live there for a month. I'd be within striking distance of that sheep pen every day. And I was thinking if I needed weights, I'd just have to go to Reykjavik, which is a little over an hour away, and I could train at Magnus's gym. But as the old saying goes, I remember reading stuff by Szymanski, how do I get my press stronger? Press. Why couldn't I go there? There's all varied rocks all over there by that sheep pen, not counting the Husafell. Why not go and train there for like 2 solid weeks and then attempt the stone?
Sure.
I mean, that's what I'm really thinking because, I mean, you can get all your meals there. If I want to go down to Reykjavik, I can do that. I know that well enough now. It's just if you want to do that, it's a fairly long drive there. And, you know, it's all mountainous and stuff. But, you know, I'm really, really starting to lean that way because, you know, they're the same way with food there. And I think I could and get away from everything. I can still do all the shows and Wi-Fi and all that. But, you know, what an exciting experience that would be to go there and live there even 3 weeks. You know, do the shows from there, let everybody know what we're doing with the stones, and then, you know, finally get that monkey off my back and get that. I think that would be exciting as hell, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right. I agree with you on that. As you know, I do so much of my training in the environment.
Yeah.
And when I work with the special forces of the military, you know, we train in the outskirts of Death Valley during the summer. And during the winter, we go to the high altitude Rockies in the snow.
Awesome.
And,
awesome.
You know, yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I can't get enough of it.
I'm with
you. And, you know, that's one thing I do miss. You know, we had our second home out in Vegas for many years. And, you know, just, you know, we've been downsizing and sold that 5 years ago. And, you know, Death Valley was only 2.5 hours. And I didn't mind the drive. I couldn't care less because I was so jacked up as to where I was going, you know.
Yeah. You know something? It's the little things that most people don't get anymore. How satisfying it is to really know how to train correctly, how satisfying it is to get on a plane or get in a car and drive 2 hours or fly right out of the United States and, you know, go out and put a garden in. You know, anybody that's not doing it, I would push them to do it. It's just like I say with entrepreneurship, get out there and do it. I'm telling you, it's little things like that that can change your life in big ways. I love going out there. I try to go out there with a clean mind when I'm on my knees doing stuff out there.
Yep.
And you wouldn't believe the ideas that are coming into my head. I just quiet myself down. And we've talked about this on other shows, you and myself and other people. If you can find that quietness within you, you'd be very surprised what you can accomplish and do. It's all this noise and gadgets and TVs and you never shut it off. And when you can't shut anything off, how do you expect to come up with ideas or get better at what you do or maybe go and do something you always wanted to do? So gardening to me is, you know, I don't want to use that word therapy because that's an overextended word as far as and I don't like how a lot of the associations with it.
Yeah.
But what it does for me, it kind of just breaks things down and you eliminate a lot of it. And if it's something you got to do again, well, you'll tackle it another day. But when you can go out there a few months later and you see your lettuce and your tomatoes and your carrots are starting, the heads are all up, your beans. I mean, you go out there. I love going out picking yellow wax beans, you know, cutting them up. I'm having them for dinner. Or like I told you, I'll go and grab an eggplant at lunch, bring it in. If I got a tomato from the garden, chop, chop, chop. Garlic and oil and sit there and I will, if I got pancetta in the house, I make my lunch like that. You know, with a good glass of cold ice water, I know it sounds very basic and simple, but it's very satisfying. It's very good for you. And you know, the nicest thing is I grew what I'm just eating there. That's
right.
You know, I want to know, go ahead.
Oh no, I was agreeing with you, but yeah, you grow with inner strength.
Yeah, and don't you want to know where your food sources are coming from?
Yeah, because nowadays,
you don't know.
You have no idea.
And not only that, I want to tell people, you should really read everything. You know, they've blown the whistles on a lot of the stuff that says organic or natural. You know, be very careful when you know, just don't pick it up because it's got a label on it and throw it in your cart.
Yeah.
Read. And I'll tell you the thing I read with everything, not vegetables so much, and I think we've mentioned this before, read everything, because if you don't want to get soy in your body or as little as possible, here's what I did. I had to go to a regular grocery store today, all right? And I always like looking through everything. You know, I'm an explorer. I don't care if I eat it or not. So I was just looking through the ice cream, and I'm looking at Häagen-Dazs and all the ones that are supposed to be premier ones. Well, every one of them has soy in it now. What do you know?
Yeah.
You know, most of the stuff they used in it probably wasn't too good to begin with, but this is the question. Why are they adding soy to ice cream, too? All right? I don't know what the deal is. So I would tell anybody, especially the weightlifters out there, be very careful of your food choices and what you're going to do. And if you're going to just say to me, well, a little won't bother me, well, you know, most people don't eat a little. You know, what turns into a couple scoopfuls turns into the whole pint going down your throat. So, you know, another thing, Stephen, and I'm not going to digress from what we're doing, but something else is puzzling me, too. I love reading bread. I mean, there's only one place, if I'm going to eat any bread, it's Italian, and I go to an Italian bakery that's been there forever, and I constantly ask, because I've gotten to know the owners over the years, no soy, nothing like, no, okay. I don't know about you, but I love reading labels. Do you know the only bread that didn't have soy, other than soy lecithin, the only bread that didn't have soy flour in it was Pepperidge Farm. Every big national no-name brand, right down to the store, right down to all the stuff I remember as a kid, you know. Everybody used to like to eat, there were Drakes, and I can't remember. They, like, had cinnamon through them, and all these things I remember as a kid. Every single thing has soy in it now. And I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? Yeah. So I know that got off a little bit, but, you know, even when you're going in these co-ops and you know, I won't go to Whole Foods, so I didn't even want to say their name. You know, be damn careful when you're buying stuff. Don't expect that this stuff is all clean and pure because you're going in a place like that. Right. Take it away. I mean, that's my little ditty for the day.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Real quick, soy, it's a cheap filler, and
yep.
There's big money in it. There's big money in it. Now, you mentioned Whole Foods. I know I told you on podcast a little ways back. And I don't mind saying this.
Go ahead.
That, you know, I got thrown out of Whole Foods by the manager.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What did you stir some trouble up, I take it?
Oh, no. Come on.
I love it. Yeah. Wait, tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, it started out as just kind of an innocent conversation with the manager in the supplement section.
Yep.
And it kind of led from one thing to another. And I said, well, you know, you're saying a lot of stuff here that isn't true, and there's a lot of stuff here that I don't think you're really too knowledgeable about these products.
Yep.
And I began discussing what some of these products really are.
Yep.
And people started gathering around me.
That's what I figured.
Now I like an audience.
Yeah.
Because the more people I could reach, the more I'm going to talk.
Yep.
And the manager was getting very uneasy with me and asked me if I would just kind of mellow out. And I said, well, I am mellow, but I think it's important that we discuss this. And, you know, these people are listening. I said, I'm not here to create a problem, but I will tell the truth about it. I said, hey, I have no axe to grind. I don't have an agenda. But, you know, there's something really wrong here. And I went into details, and you've read a lot of this on my Facebook page. And finally, the manager got really upset and literally escorted me out of the store and told me to never return. And I and I took that as a compliment.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's what happened.
I love it, man.
Real quick, it was one of the Whole Foods stores that was in Las Vegas, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, well, the nice thing, you're not there anymore, so, you know, hell with that. You know something? I have very mixed emotions about the whole industry here, you know, and that goes even for the Exerciseville, because you've been around it longer, me, and you were around in a time when, you know, you had guys like Garanda and smart people that were so far ahead of their time that they kind of just shunned. And this and that. But you know what? What's made a lot of these people sound like they're experts and get away with this baloney and put this stuff in the food that we shouldn't be eating is, let's face it, social media. Media has made just about anybody an expert now. And you and I both know that's a bunch of bull. Now, like Bud was on today and he said, you know, you get these people that hate your guts and they're, you know, you don't know what you're doing and you're this and that and the other thing. And then like Will Dinwiddie was on and, you know, guys would come up to him, that's not the way you do a bent row or a deadlift. And he's like, well, the way I'm set up, this works for me. And, you know, how can you dispute a guy that's deadlifting over 900 pounds? Okay. I mean, you know, it obviously works for him. But the point of the matter is, it's the same way with the food. And I'll get right back to the gardening is this, at least you and I have a somewhat control over what we're putting in. You know, we don't know how nature's going to be that year, you know, obviously that, but you have control over what you're eating. You know, you're not adding this or taking this away. That's very comforting to me. I don't know if enough people realize it yet, but I'll tell you what, I couldn't eat anything out of the store if you pay, as far as a vegetable. I love walking through there. This stuff looks like total crap, all of it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, And another thing I found out too, I never realized that. I put the story up. I never realized how unhealthy strawberries are for you. You know, so I don't know about the organic end, what they're, but I can't remember how many types of pesticides and stuff are on them.
Yep.
Out of all the fruit, they were saying strawberries have the highest content of like carcinogens, and I'm like, I'll ask you why. Is there a lot of insects that attack them, or what? What's it?
Yeah,
that's what it is. Okay,
it's insects and disease, and mostly disease. Mold. Yeah, on any given day, conventional strawberries will have anywhere from about 50 to 60 different chemicals per bite.
Oh, God.
So every time you pop a strawberry in your mouth, and it's not just limited to strawberries, but grapes are also horrendous. In this part of the country, no one grows organic grapes because the mold is so severe.
Yep.
And, other berries, your more popular berries, raspberry, blueberries, boysenberries, they're all extremely susceptible. And that's because our modern day farming has destroyed the earth.
Yep.
It has destroyed the earth, and our heirlooms have lost their ability to combat disease, to combat insects, to combat any predator. And of course, the biggest predator towards our food supply is man. And that's why it's next to impossible to find an heirloom berry. Now, we happen to grow some, and people are always like totally blown away when they find out we're not using chemicals. They go, well, how do you do it? I said, patience, persistence, and passion.
There you go.
They kind of look at me, you know?
Yeah.
Because they expect me to come up with this big scientific explanation. No, it's very simple. Our food supply has depreciated. And another point that I always let people know why it's so important to grow your own is because you take your typical salad greens, any of your leafy greens. Okay, everything in life has a half cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a half cycle means, and I'm going to use these greens so people will realize that they're really not eating healthy. Okay, people always say, oh, yeah, have a salad, you know, your spinach, all this stuff, go to the store, buy it. Well, leafy greens have the shortest half-life cycle. It's approximately 48 hours.
Okay.
So they're harvested. They have 100% of their nutrients. A half-life cycle means within 48 hours, they have lost 50% of their nutrition.
Wow.
Now keep doing the math. Real simple.
Yep.
Go another 48 hours.
Yep.
Half-life cycle, 50% is cut again. Now, 4 days later, you only have 25% of your original nutrition.
Yep.
Let's go.
It's pretty much dead at that point.
Yeah. And I want to take this one more step.
Yeah,
go two more days. Now we're down to 12.5% of its original nutrition. That's 6 days after it's harvested. Your average food produce that you buy in the store, vegetable, wait till you hear about fruit, vegetable is anywhere from 7 to 10 days old.
Ugh.
So what are you getting? Nothing but
nothing.
You're getting some of the fiber that's left, but as far as nutrition, it's gone. It's history. Now, I use that as an example because leafy greens have the shortest half-life cycle. Now, with some of the root foods like carrots, potatoes, you know, sweet potatoes, those have a much, much longer half-life cycle.
Yep.
And in some instances, when they're properly stored, they actually become sweeter because they use up all their starch, converting it to sugar. Now, about fruits, you know, people always say, oh, yeah, this is fresh from California, or, oh, yeah, I eat fresh fruit all the time.
Yeah.
Almost all the fruit, especially like apples, pears, and citrus, they are not grown here in the States.
Right.
Okay. Most of it is coming from Argentina, lot from Argentina, and from Mexico.
Yep.
Now, the worst part is you are not eating the freshly harvested fruit. It sits in it sits for 2 years in a big refrigerator in a box. When it's time to go to market, now they expose it to ethylene gas.
Oh, geez.
Now that's really healthy, too. Now yeah. they expose it to ethylene gas because that speeds up the ripening process. That's why when you go to a store, you cannot find an apple, a pear, or orange, or grapefruit that tastes good.
Yeah.
You bite into it. It's like, man, where's the flavor? It's yep. not there. Or try to juice some of this stuff.
Forget it.
Nothing's yep. coming out. You got to yep. juice about a half dozen apples to get maybe 4 ounces, maybe 6 ounces, 8 ounces at best if you're on a good day of juice. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you have real fresh apples like what we do, yep. you know, you pick it off the tree, you bite into it, man, oh. it explodes with juice all over your face.
Yep.
You know, that's
yep.
the way it's supposed to be. So even if it is organic, which of course is much, much better, there's a lot of controversy over this, but it is much better for you. It's still not going to have that great taste and juiciness.
No,
and a lot of the nutrition
all.
Is gone.
So, and another thing, I mean, you know, our co-op's got quite a bit, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables. But one thing I don't like is a lot of the stuff is exposed. And let's face it, you know, I don't want somebody pawing through food. You know, I don't know where their hands have been. And, yep. you know, they'll be sneezing and
yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, it's like, I don't know what it, you know. I used to like before they were bought out, we're talking years ago, and I don't know how good it was now when I look at a lot of stuff, but I used to eat a lot of Cascadian Farms. Now, I know it's frozen,
yeah,
but we're talking probably 20 years ago. I mean, they've been bought out now, and I read some bad – I don't remember the name. I'm not – if I knew their name, I wouldn't say it. Not reading good things about – you know, it's a big agricultural conglomerate that owns them now.
Yes.
So that's out of the question. You go to one of those places. I mean, the co-op we got here, it's one of the better ones I've ever been at. Is there any, if you can find a good frozen fruit, is there any validity to that? Or are you better to just go with what they've got there? I mean, what at this point, cleanest, safest, or you just don't partake in it at all?
Well, generally, frozen fruits are better because they are immediately fast frozen.
Right, right.
And, yeah, so they're definitely better.
Yeah, and that's what I've been kind of doing. There's another one, too. I can't think of the name. You know what I love to eat? I love to buy frozen cherries.
Yeah.
Oh, and just thaw them out and just pop them like, you know, like it's candy. I love that. I like cherry has always been my favorite for anything. So I like that stuff. But, yeah, I've seen different brands there now, you know, like the frozen peaches and blueberries and strawberries and, of course, all the berry family. To me, it's just the way to go now because, like I said, a lot of that stuff, there is some organic stuff that comes. But, you know, the apples there, I know where they come from. They come from a very good place. Downstate, down near where I get the milk, called Samascot Orchards. They've been around forever, but like I said, always open, always in the open environment. Don't like that. I just don't like that. If they came in bags, I'd be tempted, but I don't like buying stuff out of bins too much, mainly because I really don't like people pawing through food that I might potentially buy. You know,
sure,
that's just
sure.
me.
Yeah, and as you know, we're 97-98% food sustainable. And, yeah. and we don't eat out at restaurants. We haven't for several years now. And, you know, a lot of people think we're crazy. But, you know, the thing is, why go to a restaurant, eat junk food, and be disappointed with the taste? And yeah. you know, you've seen how my wife prepares food.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know, we've talked about it before, some of my background, you know, as an artist. My wife's an artist, so we prepare food as an artist would. You've seen the artistry that she's put together, you know,
beautiful
the
stuff.
Textures, the patterns, the colors. And that just makes it even more wonderful when we're growing our own.
Well, you know, Stephen, too, you know, it works. I mean, you put a load on yourself training. You still are. I mean,
yeah.
you're not 25 years old anymore, and you're sustaining the hell out of everything, and you're having a great time with it. You know, let's face it, in today's world, most guys at 40 are broken.
Yeah.
They're done.
Absolutely.
They're done.
Absolutely.
And I love to hear him say, you know, I run into friends of mine, you know, and they'll be like, still at it, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, it was never something to be at. This is my life now.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. You know, I'll be 64 next week, and I have absolutely no intention of slowing down.
Hell no.
No, not at all. I mean, this is a lifestyle. This is who I am. This is part of the character that I have developed. And I don't say that to be arrogant or egotistical. It's just who I am and what I do. And if I wasn't passionate about it, I still wouldn't be going out there like today, doing my chains and just beating myself up. And I absolutely love it. And yeah, we have to make about every 10 years, we have to make changes in our training.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Just natural. But I believe it was our last podcast I mentioned to you, as a true testimony to what clean eating and growing your own food does or can do for an individual. I have not been sick, not even a head cold, a sore throat, an earache, anything since October of 1992.
That's think about that, 92.
Yeah.
You know, and there you are bouncing out every day out of bed to go do your stuff and the farm. I mean, it's not like you have a physical life.
Very much
most
so.
Most people at 64 are, you and I know, they're thinking about, well, it's time to retire. Well, I believe when I read an article one time, usually people that retire at that age or younger, I believe maybe they get 3 to 5 years of shelf life then, and they're dead. They drop dead or something.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And I love to hear people say to me, it's like, well, you don't want to live forever. Yeah, I'd like to live until I can't live anymore. If that means 80... 150, I don't care. The thing is, I'm not looking to go and stick my head in the sand and say life's over. And, I think with what we do, and I mean, obviously you do a lot more extensive with food and you train different than I do, but it's all the same. You develop a mental capacity that's fully different from the normal guy or gal walking around out there. And when they, like with Will yesterday, well, that's not the way you do a bent row. Well, I do a bent row at 500 pounds. You know, this kind of criticism is bullshit when most of these people are probably not even coming off the couch to do anything. Let's face it. You and I know the majority of articles out there are all bullshit. They're not doing any of the stuff they're saying. I call a lot of these guys and girls one trick ponies. It's like, look at you can be you know maybe genetically you're set up for this lift and you're very good at it. But you know what my view on a great lifter will always be: take them out of their element and stuff them into something they've never done before.
Yes.
Then we get to measure how good you are, how nutritionally sound are, and most of all, this is what I see with them. They break mentally fast, man.
Absolutely.
Fast.
I agree with you 100% on that, Eric. Yeah.
I love that, Steven. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, big shot. Let's see what you got. You know what I mean? You know, that's the beauty of all the things we do here. It's, I harp on this hard, and I'm going to do it till the day we sign off, man. You know, you're very lucky. Everybody's got a, you know, I know some people have hard lives, but I come from a house where I had a brother that was in a wheelchair. You don't think I think every day about that. And you don't think that I thank God, man, that I can put my feet on the ground every morning at 5:15, brush my teeth, come in and blog, you know, or put up video or podcasts and then be able to go out like the other day. I worked till like 8:30. Had breakfast, went out and mowed the lawn, did all the trimming, you know, weeded up a lot of stuff, took the cover off and made sure the tiller would start, all those things. And I know it doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot of fun, man. And then I come back in, maybe have a little lunch, got a little bit of sun on me, and I'm ready to go and work for at least 3 hours in the afternoon. And I can't tell people how it's beautiful. I mean, to be able, how many times can you get up in your cubicle and go outside and, I don't know, they if you grab the lawnmower and start mowing, they'd fire you and have you arrested. What I'm saying is, you know, the ability, all these things offer so much ability for you to do things. And, I don't know, a lot of my friends think I'm whacked out of my head now because I'm doing all this different stuff and, I'm training this way, and I'm working this way, and I got these dreams. You know, I sent to you that one day. I'm not bullshitting you when I said I want to own a Ferrari, man. I'm not kidding you when I say that either. A red, I don't care what's out. The 458 is what I like right now. I'm not bullshitting you when I say that. And most people can't wrap their hands around anything like that. Oh, you're just dreaming. Well, 3 years into what I got now, two businesses, I dreamed all that up, and look where we are now. So, yeah. You know, your food, your thoughts, your training, your disposition, your love for where you want to be down the road, whether you know if you're going to be there or not, this is vitality. You know, that's what you're talking about. You know, you're going to be 64 years old. You got no desire to slow down. You're doing massive manual stuff that a young man wouldn't even, you know. I know a lot of my friends, their parents own, you know, whether it's a some type of clothing store or they own an Italian deli. You want to know something? None of the damn kids want anything to do with it. And
absolutely.
They've all got great educations. They've got successful jobs and all this. And all right, I don't begrudge you. Go ahead. But you know something? That job that maybe whether you're ashamed of what it was your parents did or, well, it's just not for me, I always think to myself, don't forget, that put you through law school, asshole. You know what I mean?
No, okay.
That thing your grandparents came over from Italy with that started from a little fruit stand out in front or a little deli in front has blossomed to this. We've lost a lot of that stuff, and I have such a great appreciation and admiration for that stuff. And that just goes with everything we talked about today. It's, you know, getting back to the land, growing things, being productive. You know, it's the same way with our training. You know, you didn't get to this point the first year you started out as a young man. Same with me. It took me decades. That thing I told you last night with the bench with the barrels, man. I've had those barrels here almost 3 years, 2.5 years now. I never even thought of it. I walked out and I said, son of a bitch, I'm going to bench those things, man.
Yeah.
Guess what I did? Isn't that the fun of it all?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because we always challenge ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do that every season. You know, I said, okay, man, I had 7-foot, 8-foot pepper plants last year. Well, that's not good enough. I want 10-foot ones this year.
Pretty soon you're going to be able to, like, fly up into the clouds, you
know?
Yeah,
yeah. And, you know, that's our personality. We are always challenging ourselves. And that just brings so much excitement into gardening.
It does. That's why, you know, Stephen, I've lost a lot with all this and I've gained more.
Sure.
And I think that there's a hell of a lot more to come. And, you know, we talk about this a lot. You know, there's a lot to it. What you think about most, you become. And people that think like you are going to start coming out of nowhere. And good and better things are going to happen. And I'm a true believer in that. And, you know, we were talking about that electrical feeling. You know, you get off the grass and in the dirt. What's happened with me, I find, with a lot of people that I used to be friendlier with or hang out with, there's been a sever, a disconnect now because they, you know, I don't see things the same way anymore. And I'm just so focused on, you know, let's make the business bigger and you know, let's make some money and let's go to Iceland and let's do this and let's put the garden in and, you know, let's learn how to do this and let's talk to this guy or girl and, you know, strike up a friendship. Most people, man, just don't want any part of that. So I don't really, a lot of the old ones and even ones you talk to, I don't have I can talk to them, be friendly with them, but I don't have a good connect with them. I think that's all part of this lifestyle we live here and the way we're always reaching for something else. And most people are very content, and that's okay. I'm not putting them down at all, but I can't stick around with content anymore.
No. No,
that's it.
And I was telling some people a few days ago.
Yeah.
I said, you know, a lot of people think I'm cold and selfish because I do not allow people that are negative in my life.
I agree.
And they always say, well, don't you want friends? I said, yes, I want friends.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's the word,
you know,
right there.
You could have acquaintances your entire life and people come and go into your life for numerous reasons, and it's always a learning experience. And you know, people always think everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be, you know, a bowl full of cherries. We always have to be happy. No, that's not the way life is.
No.
You know, life is up and down. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have some horrendous years. You're going to have some beautiful years.
Yep.
But the important thing in life is to always keep moving forward.
Hell yeah.
You know, and too
Hell
many
yeah.
people don't do that.
Well, you know what happens, Stephen? Look, you and I both know. People get beaten down. They let others beat them down. Yep. And I hate to say it, but a lot of people just don't have, I want to use the right word, maybe the skill base, maybe the lack of self-confidence. We
yep.
can probably add a put. You know what I mean? They get hit and they can't come back. Now, I think that's tragic. But this is the way life is, and this is the way they listen to these people that got no idea what they're even talk about. And the thing more than ever, it's too bad. You know what you're doing to yourself? You're shortchanging your life, and you're listening to others that are never going to make anything of themselves and never get anywhere. And I would tell people this. You're going to lose a lot of friends when you want to do something that's very unique. You're going to lose family, the whole deal. I've the last 3 years almost, I'm living proof of that. But here's what I'll tell you, and Steven said this. He wants friends, all right? That's the word you got to key on, friends. And if friendship, you know, I've got friends of mine that, you know, that are still very good with me. They're more family than some of my family now.
Sure.
This happens. This happens. And this is all part of your growing cycle. You know, we talk about planting crops and watching them grow and then harvest them and then eat them. And what an honor it is to do things like that. You know, even my mother says to me, your father would be so proud to see this garden you put in every year, because that was a big thing to him. He loved gardening, you know, and he was nothing, you know, to him, put it in, use a little, he'd always put his cow manure down and bang, he always had a good garden.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, all this stuff just adds up, and it adds up to good things that are going to prosper you more and more. Just don't let others take you out of your game. And I just see far too many people letting people that have no business even opening their mouth. But when they do, they listen to them like it's gospel. And the next thing you know, well, I tried it. Well, let me tell you something, and I'll give it to you and just sum up everything and give your stuff out, and I'll give mine, and we'll hang on the line if you would. But here's what I say, you know. I feel that, you know, you need to take these chances on yourself and go out and show how productive you can be. And I'm saying to yourself, be selfish about it. Go out and see if there's things that you want to do that you can do. Give it your best shot. None of this, I'll try it, because if you say that to me, you might as well turn around and leave. I've had people say that when they come here, when we talk about, you know, training.
Yeah.
And I've had people say that to me, Steve, and I told them I'm not interested. Because if you're coming in and saying, I'll try it, that'd be just like if you, you know, before you got married and you were dating your wife and said, well, you know, I'll try it.
Yep.
Well, you know something? Hopefully the girl or the guy would be wise enough to say, I'm not interested, because there's nothing out there that's ever going to work out when you say, I try it. It's not going to work out.
Yep.
So I'll part this and give it to Steven, and this is all I can say. Get out there, build yourself a garden, even if you throw in three lettuce plants, three tomato plants, throw in some carrots, and have at it, man. I'm telling you, by, you know, you'll have stuff midsummer, you'll have your carrots in August probably, like I do. And let me tell you, when you pull a carrot out of the ground, I eat it with the dirt on it. I don't even care. It is so satisfying. So, Steven, summarize whatever you'd like. Give out your info. I'll give mine. And if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Eric.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'd like to make a couple of points for the home gardener to get going. I've mentioned a lot of things that I do, and I do an infinite many more. But for the beginner, compost and mulching
yep.
are very important. And you start with buying some good organic mulch and
yep.
compost, but it's so easy to make your own compost pile. You know, recycle. Don't throw it out to the trash. Recycle it. And, right. you know, get into that, because that's going to provide a lot of beneficial bacteria, a lot of beneficial fungus, and a lot of nutrients. And just keep it going. Feed the earth. Feed your plants. Feed yourself. Yep. And I would like to close with a quote that I absolutely adore. It's by Sharon Lovejoy. And it's, all knowledge is rooted in wonder. And what better place to cultivate wonder than in our own gardens?
Absolutely.
And I came across that, I don't know how long ago. I love it. It's always in my head. I always think about it when I go out. And take that quote with yourself, and you could truly understand and appreciate the relationship that you could have with your garden, with the food that you grow. Because there's nothing more rewarding than what you put into it. Everything about life, whatever you put into it, you're going to get the good returns.
Sage words, let me tell you. Do you want to give out the Facebook account and anything else before I go to mine?
I think you covered it. I don't think we gave.
Well, I'm going to say it anyways at the end.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
So you got everything out, Stephen?
I got it.
Okay.
And I'm ready as a pullback slingshot for the next podcast.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can contact Stephen at primalcreations@aol.com, Facebook, STEPHEN SANTANGELO.75. And don't forget, you know, this will make you hungry. You'll have to grow your crops. Why don't you enter? Go out to motivationmuscle.com/club. Enter your name and your email address. Submit the entry, and you can win an 8X club. We've partnered up. Donnie's been on here. Excellent guy. We're going to end the contest on the 19th of May, and we are going to draw the winner on that Saturday. So we end on, let's see, a week from today. You got one more week, and I'll just give you a few things about the club, which you should know. It's adjustable, and it has weight settings from 3.5 to 25 pounds. It's perfect for both two-hand and one-handed club exercises. It's great for rehab and heavy rotational power training, and there's four videos down there to watch. It'll show you exactly how to use it. It's very simple, and as I said before, Donnie really messed his shoulder up from all the years of bench pressing. You know, we talked about all the stuff with a garden and everything. I got news for you. Donnie was pretty much down on his butt, and he had to come up with something financially and everything. That just shows you creativity comes sometimes at the lowest point in your life, and by God, he did it. And it's a beautiful piece of equipment, and we're glad to be partnered up with him. So go out to motivationmuscle.com. That will take you right out to the club page, but you can also type in /club. So I wish everybody good luck, and don't forget, you'll get on Motivation Muscle with Donnie and I, whether you're on the show or not. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, Fiorella Barbell Co., free ebook. Also, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle, all out on Fiorella Barbell. Go out and look at the site. It's going to be changing more and more. It's absolutely beautiful, and I want to thank Tracy for doing all the hard work on both sites, and you're going to see more and more changes. There's so many things going on in the works. But as she says, we're going to, like we said during the show, one step at a time, and you're just going to keep seeing more and more coming out. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what I've gotten. I thank everybody for that. If there's a show you'd like Stephen and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give them words, any type of good words, push, inspiration. I'm telling you, you never know what you can change with a few words. And as my mom used to say when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or hello. That might be all they get. If you're going to go out and work out today, lift some stones, turn them into dust, you know, pull, press, pull, push, whatever you're going to do, go out and bend some iron. And as a great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I say in everything I write, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Do not walk around it. Do not. Keep going. Steven said that before. You got to keep moving along. You know what I mean? There's an awful lot that's the old word, take some steps. Steps is going to get you big, and it's going to get you to your destination. But like everything, it's not going to happen in 90 days. And I hate to break that to you, but that's the way the world works. And obviously, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show from the beginning and has been on Eminem, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. As I've said, that was one of the nicest compliments I ever got. We will say that till the day we sign off, and I'm planning on being around here for 25 to 30 years. Steven, thank you for being on, sir. An electric show, as usual.
Thank you, Eric. Always appreciate it. Thanks, Bert.
Anytime. We love having you on, man. You're an encyclopedia, the world encyclopedia of knowledge. And as I say before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the sidelines. And you know something? Tell 100 of your friends, because if you don't, we're coming for you anyways. So for Steven Santangelo, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in June. Steven will be on again. And all I can tell you is just go out and do something magnificent. That's what it's all about. Have a great week, everybody. And thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.